Welcome to the show. This time I'm talking about accents. How we speak says a lot about who we are and what we do. In any given situation during our day and lives, we find ourselves using different words to suit the circumstances. You may recall hearing a parent speaking on the phone using their telephone voice. I'm from a generation where telephones were often attached to a wall or a special piece of furniture called a telephone table, and this was usually situated in the hallway of your home. I recall hearing my mum talking to someone in an official capacity, maybe even talking to one of my teachers, and hearing her speaking quite differently to how she spoke to me. She was using her telephone voice. So giving an impression of ourselves through our voices has always been important. Often we don't even know we're using our telephone voice, even if we're not on the phone. It's only when somebody points it out afterwards that you realise you were using it. This telephone voice then became our go-to accent when we wanted to give either a very good impression of ourselves or sound authoritative. We even use better, weightier or grammatically correct words or arrange them differently when we use this special voice. For instance, instead of saying, "You're right, mate," we might say, "How are you?" or "Who are you?" rather than "To whom am I speaking?" Accents are a lot to do with how we present ourselves, but they're also embedded in our minds from day one of living. We learn to speak and learn our accent by those people we live with and, of course, from our surroundings. So from day one, we are heavily influenced by our environment. We may be a little more rough around the edges or informal at home, but at school, at work, during a job interview, even how I speak for my radio show and my podcast, or how we deliver talks to an audience, are all attributed to our telephone voice mindset. In a professional situation, we often try to have clarity of voice or more concise of content, just like we do with the professional world of writing. We use weightier, more powerful words when copywriting than we do when we're texting each other. Words are, in a word, important because they're a way of communicating our message to our intended audience. Use slang within a professional capacity, and while you may still get the message across, you'll lose professional credibility. Use professional words with your friends in the classroom, and you'll receive all manner of stick for it. Stick is another one. So words need to be carefully chosen for the appropriate audience in whatever you're doing. Regionally, we all have distinct accents within the United Kingdom, just as everyone does in their corner of the world. These go a little way into defining who we are when someone highlights the difference. It can work in our favour at times, and very much against us if somebody makes a judgment of our character based solely on the sound of our words, rather than who we are as a person. I try to work out where somebody is from just by listening to their accent, but I'm really not very good at it, so despite my fascination for the topic. I suspect this is more to do with my hearing than it is to do with my accent identification skills, of which I have few. Often we listen out for those regional stereotypical slang words that we're told, usually from TV or movies, is attributed from a location. But what of those people who travel and have mixed up accents? How do you identify where they're from? Sociolinguistics is a really interesting subject, but despite learning a little of it at university a few years ago, I am really and certainly no expert whatsoever. However, I do enjoy the sounds certain words make when I hear them. When it comes to creating fictional characters and settings for a story, I tend to think of accents and how they can best be used. A year or so ago, I picked up a book by Ben Crystal and David Crystal, published by Macmillan, entitled You Say Potato, A Book About Accents. I've given certain chapters a reread lately, and I refer to it every now and then during this show. I mentioned sociolinguistics earlier. What is it? Well, according to the online site lexico.com, the definition is the study of language in relation to social factors including differences of regional, class and occupational dialect, gender difference and bilingualism. Well, that is quite a mouthful, if you'll excuse the pun. Put simply, sociolinguistics is the study of how we speak and where we're from, whether that from is region, class or gender. It's also about the way we use language, including social and cultural norms and expectations. Remember I said earlier about the telephone voice? Well, that's where this part comes in. Sometimes people are expected to sound a particular way for the job they do. We perceive their voice, accent and choice of words to be connected with education and therefore, eventually, a highly skilled job. More on this later. But let's take it a stage further, a more personal stage further. As individuals, we know what makes us tick. Some accents are very appealing and some are very much unappealing. My own personal favourites are parts of the United States, parts of Scotland and Australian. Recently, I realised tone and pitch are equally as important as accent to my ear, though. The depth of a voice can really help the accent stand out. So if there's an accent you love but can't imagine it, it's worth watching a few movies to hear how actors voice those parts. It can really help in your writing characters too. I've known people in the past who have listened out for maybe Midlands accents or Southern Irish to find their soulmates. Obviously, there is more to find in the love of your life than by their accent, but to be fair, if you're going to be spending your life with them, their accent can't be like nails on a chalkboard if you're to remain in a long-term relationship. Most of us are aware that many Latin American accents are considered alluring or sexy. The passion that comes along with them can be evocative. Some people get turned on by French or Italian or Cockney accents, while others don't even realise they're listening out for an accent at all because it's all subliminal to them. Attraction to accents is something I became aware of a few years back. I found myself drawn to certain voices, usually via TV or movies or radio, and sometimes in real life too. You can be unconsciously drawn to an accent as well. For me, as I said earlier, my favourite accent is from the United States. Most characters I write about are from America. The accent sound that some states create, I find melodic, mesmerising and musical. It's as if somehow they've taken the word that I might pronounce quite flatly and they've twisted it and given it a twang. And because it's done in such a fluid way, as in conversation where we potentially speak quite fast, certain words stand out because they sound like a song being sung. I recently recorded a podcast and radio show about an intense editing session I performed over Christmas. In the recording, I talked about a character I created years ago named Troy, who was from Texas. In order for me to really get into hearing his accent, I researched it by listening to actors using the accent in movies. I got through a lot of movies between Christmas and New Year, I can tell you. I also find it helpful to watch movies of, say, one particular actor if they have the pitch or depth of voice my character also has, and study them in several movies of varying genres. For me, over the festivities, it was all about comedy, a few action movies, a romance or two, and sci-fi. Writer tip alert, listen, watch, and study as many different movie or audiobook genres as possible to hear accent nuances in the characters, because what one character might say in a romance won't be the same way the word or sentence is said in a thriller or in a horror genre. It's those nuances that can really help retain an accent in my mind. So when it comes to writing dialogue, I can hear how they deliver the line and how they might sound or any gestures they might give. It's worth mentioning here that we remember song lyrics over any other kind of word use because of the addition of a melody. Do you remember years ago you learned the timetables with a rhythm behind it? It was easier to remember the numbers and calculations that way. Music, as I've alluded to before in previous shows, is a really useful way of getting across your meaning. This is why some adverts stick with us throughout the day, and it's also why we find ourselves buying certain products over others, because subliminally we're being programmed to do it. Now, that might be a slightly cynical way of looking at it, but the point remains, music helps to sell an idea or a product. In the case of creative writing, perhaps the suggested sound of the hero's voice might make you weak at the knees enough to buy the book. Okay, I think it's safe to say I'm talking about me here. Here are some actors whose voices I'm drawn to, and while I'm reading them out, it's safe to assume I find them attractive too. So, Gerard Butler for his Scottish accent, it conjures up a certain mischief for me. Brendan Fraser for his depth of voice, I describe it as like honey dripping off a hot spoon, if you can imagine that. Chris Isaac for his singing voice, and I describe that the same way as for Brendan Fraser. Channing Tatum for his Southern American accent. Chris Hemsworth for his take on American, but also his native Australian accent. I also meditate a lot to Jason Stevenson's Australian accent, which sounds very different to Hemsworth's due to the region and pitch. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's voice is wonderful too, and it doesn't hurt that he has an exceptionally amazing smile too. But that's all about being attracted to accents. There are a few accents that turn me off. Apologies in advance if these apply to you, but it is just my opinion and what works well for me within my own ears, and of course, my perception of those accents. Now, while Irish has a vast amount of regional accents, the Northern Irish accent I find too prickly. Words like now, pronounced nigh. I can quite happily listen to comedian Dara O'Brien and actor Ardal O'Hanlon because their accents are quite rounded and soft, but I really don't enjoy the spiky ones. There used to be a newsreader in the 80s with a Northern Irish accent, and it jumped right out at me, and not in a good way. German is also quite a clunky accent for my ears to hear. I'll spare you by not attempting to pronounce anything in German, but when I hear a German accent, it feels really heavy, as though the weight is pulling me down. The comedian Henning Wendt's accent is a little like this, so it helps to listen to his jokes because they are funny and it seems to take the edge off it for me. Interestingly, Austrian, Arnold Schwarzenegger's accent, is fine to a point. I can watch a movie with him in and be okay, but if I saw two back to back, it might jar me a little. On the other hand, plenty of people don't like Essex accents. I'm from Essex, England, and while there are a number of different Essex accents, the one that seems to be highlighted by TV and movies is Estuary Essex. Now, this is the one that you might hear on shows like Towie or EastEnders. It does seem to tally up with the scripts on those shows where characters are being accusational and aggressive. But you're listening to my normal speaking voice now. Do I sound aggressive or accusational? Do I? Kent and Suffolk accents can sound quite similar to Essex at times, and I've been told my accent sometimes sounds Australian, but that's usually by a non-English speaker. And the old Essex and old Suffolk accents can sound remarkably like they're from the West Country at times. I said earlier I would refer to the book You Say Potato. The authors do us a great service by spelling accented words phonetically. For instance, a Birmingham accent would make float sound like flout, while a Liverpool accent would make there sound like the. They talk a lot about the differences between English RP accents and American GP, or general pronunciation, and also the differences in the use of the words. It's a fascinating read on how we speak and the evolution of language. It can really help your mind understand regional and international accents if you're writing about a character who speaks differently from you. There are heaps of books out there that will also give you the word in place of the word we use for, say, pavement. We all know that sidewalk is pavement in America and soda is a fizzy soft drink, but looking at this from the other way around, I discovered that even the humble scone or scone, which even has England divided, has further pronunciations in the States. It also refers to a different baked good too. No wonder people get confused with languages. Another book I'd suggest you look at for when you're thinking about creating dialogue is How Language Began: The Story of Humanity's Greatest Invention by Daniel Everett and published by Profile Books. It is a rather heavy read, and if I'm honest, one that I jump into and out of every now and then. It's a thick book with smallish print and the kind of thing that tends to intimidate me a bit, but the content is interesting, so it's worth being on your creative writing research bookshelf. In the United Kingdom, RP, or received pronunciation, is defined as, according to various reputable internet sites, commonly called BBC English and standard British pronunciation. This is the accent that most people use if they are on TV. However, a few years ago, regional accents became better used. You get a Welsh newsreader or a Brummie TV presenter. Comedians across the country would fill our Saturday evening TV schedules with their own personal brand of comedy, which, bizarrely, seemed to differ along with the accents. Finally, we make our decisions based on the way people speak. These decisions can affect people's lives. Your job interview might not go well if the other person up for the job speaks better, clearer, or even presents their thoughts with clarity. Maybe they use better words, or their telephone voice, or maybe the accents they had rubbed somebody up the wrong way. We all know these things are wrong, but it happens. It should be what skill set somebody can bring to the job rather than how they sound, unless of course the job is for their voice alone. But that's just me. Why not let me know what accents you're drawn to and what ones get your back up? In the meantime, if you're writing a character that has a different way of speaking to your way, I'd love to hear about them too. But perhaps you're not writing dialogue at all and your character is deaf, so uses sign language to communicate. I did this once and enjoyed the challenge of not writing dialogue and instead using body language to communicate. Anyway, let me know how your use of words, language, dialogue, and regional or international accents is going. I'd really love to know. Until next time, thanks for listening.